Legends whisper of a brutal monarch who conquered nations with an iron claw. Yet the true history of King Alaric reveals a hidden vulnerability. A single ragged piece of cloth stood between his terrifying wrath and absolute submission. What happens when a monster meets his destined weakness? In the harsh, unforgiving winter of 1342, the kingdom of Æthelgard was not a place for the weak. It was a realm where the soil was eternally frozen, and the ruling class possessed a monstrous secret. The nobility were not merely lords and ladies. They were lycans, apex predators, masquerading in velvet and silk. At the pinnacle of this terrifying food chain sat King Alaric of House Valerius, known across the continent as the Savage Alpha. Alaric was a ruler forged in the fires of betrayal and war. He had ascended to the seat of power by slaughtering his corrupt uncle and decimating three neighboring packs who dared challenge his claim. He was a king devoid of mercy, leading a kingdom where human peasants were treated as little more than cattle laborers to tend the fields and feed the elite. Under his reign, laws were enforced with teeth and claws, and any whisper of rebellion was silenced before dawn. Far from the towering obsidian spires of the capital city, Ironhold lay the dismal, snow-choked village of Oakhurst. Here lived a young woman named Isolde. To the villagers, she was an enigma, a pariah wrapped in coarse grey wool. Since she was a young girl, Isolde had worn a heavy burlap veil that covered the lower half of her face and draped over her neck. The local whispers were cruel and relentless. Some claimed she was afflicted with leprosy. Others swore she bore the mark of a demon, cursed by the very gods who had abandoned their frozen lands. Isolde's adoptive father, a weary blacksmith named William, fueled these rumors to keep the villagers at a distance. He knew the terrifying truth of what resided on his daughter's skin. It was not a curse of demons, but a blessing so ancient and dangerous that it could collapse the very foundation of the Lycan monarchy. Life in Oakhurst was a daily battle against starvation, made exponentially worse by the king's ruthless tax collectors. On a bitter Tuesday in late November, the king's men rode into the village square. They were led by Captain Henrik, a hulking brute of a lycan, whose cruelty was infamous throughout the northern provinces. The harvest had been abysmal, the frost claiming the wheat before it could be reaped. Yet Henrik demanded the crown's full quota. "If the silos are empty, then we shall take the debt in flesh." Henrik snarled, his breath pluming in the freezing air. He gestured to his men, who began dragging young men and women from their modest cottages, intending to sell them into labor camps to cover the village's deficit. Among those violently seized was a young boy no older than 10 named Arthur. As a guard hoisted the screaming child by the scruff of his tunic, Isolde's temper shattered. Ignoring her father's desperate pleas, she pushed through the crowd of terrified peasants. "Let him go," Isolde demanded, her voice ringing clear and authoritative across the silent square. Captain Henrik slowly turned his mount, his yellow eyes narrowing at the veiled woman standing defiantly in the snow. "And who are you to issue commands to the king's guard peasant?" "I am a woman who knows that a king is meant to protect his subjects, not devour them," Isolde replied, standing her ground, even as Henrik dismounted and approached her, towering over her fragile frame. The square erupted into gasps as Henrik struck her across the face with the back of his armored gauntlet. The force sent Isolde crashing into the snow-tasting copper. Yet to the astonishment of everyone present, she did not cower. She rose to her feet, her hands clutching her veil to ensure it remained securely in place, her eyes burning with a fierce, untamed defiance. Henrik's lips curled over elongated canines. A human daring to show such insolence was unheard of. It was an insult to his alpha, and by extension to the king. "Treason," Henrik hissed. "You speak treason against the savage alpha. Bind her in iron. We ride for the capital. Let King Alaric make an example of this veiled witch." Despite William's desperate attempts to intervene, which earned him a brutal beating from the guards, Isolde was shackled. Thrown into the back of a rusted iron cage wagon, she was forced to endure the agonizing, freezing journey to Ironhold. She sat in the darkness of the carriage, her hands trembling not from the cold, but from the terrifying knowledge of where she was going. She was being dragged into the heart of the beast's lair, and if her veil was lifted, death would be the least of her worries. The Great Hall of Ironhold was a masterpiece of intimidating architecture. Vaulted ceilings disappeared into the shadows, and the walls were lined with the banners of conquered packs. At the far end of the cavernous room, elevated upon a dais of dark, polished stone, sat King Alaric. He was a terrifyingly magnificent sight. Broad-shouldered and powerfully built, Alaric radiated an aura of lethal dominance that made even the highest-ranking Lycan lords lower their eyes in his presence. A jagged scar ran down the left side of his rugged face, a permanent reminder of the wars that had secured his crown. He sat slumped slightly in his throne, his expression a mask of profound, dangerous boredom. Beside the dais stood Lord Reginald Harrington, a calculating and ambitious advisor. Harrington was a master of court politics, constantly maneuvering to elevate his own lineage. His ultimate goal was to see his haughty daughter, Lady Catherine, mated to the king. For decades, Alaric had remained mateless, his savage nature deemed too volatile, his soul too shattered to find its other half. Harrington saw this emptiness as an opportunity for power. The heavy oak doors of the great hall groaned open, and Captain Henrik marched in, dragging a shackled Isolde behind him. The court, filled with aristocrats adorned in jewels and fine furs, turned to watch the spectacle. Whispers broke out as they took in the sight of the bruised, dirt-streaked peasant woman wrapped in cheap burlap. "My king!" Henrik bellowed, forcing Isolde to her knees at the base of the dais. "I bring before you a traitor from the village of Oakhurst. She assaulted your guards and spoke sedition against your crown." Alaric didn't even lean forward. His piercing amber eyes lazily dragged over Isolde's trembling form. "A peasant!" He rumbled, his voice low and vibrating with a terrifying resonance that rattled the glass in the chandeliers. "You interrupt my counsel to bring me a single starving human." Lord Harrington stepped forward, a sneer playing on his lips. "It is not merely the act, Your Grace, but the defiance. The lower classes grow bold. This wretched creature hides her face, no doubt concealing a deformity or the rot of disease. She should be executed publicly to remind the livestock of their place." Isolde kept her head bowed, her heart hammering against her ribs like a trapped bird. She could feel the crushing weight of the Alpha's aura pressing down on her lungs, commanding absolute submission. Yet a strange instinctual fire burned within her chest, urging her to look up to meet the predator's gaze. "Execute her, Henrik," Alaric dismissed with a wave of his hand, already turning his attention away. "But take that filthy rag off her face first. I do not permit secrets in my court." Henrik grinned maliciously and reached down. "No!" Isolde thrashed wildly, her chained hands flying up to protect her veil. She managed to strike Henrik's arm, an impulsive, desperate act of survival. The entire hall fell dead silent. A human had just struck a Lycan captain in the king's presence. Alaric's head snapped back around. The boredom vanished from his eyes, replaced by a sudden, intense sharpness. He slowly leaned forward, resting his forearms on his thighs, his amber eyes locking onto the struggling woman. Furious at being humiliated twice by the same peasant, Lord Harrington abandoned his dignified posture. he stomped down the steps of the dais, his claws extending. "Insolent filth!" he roared, grabbing Isolde by the hair. With a violent jerk of his other hand, Harrington seized the heavy burlap veil and ripped it clean off her head. The fabric tore with a loud, sickening rip. The court leaned in, expecting to see a face ravaged by plague or horribly burned. Lady Catherine covered her mouth with a silk fan, anticipating a grotesque sight. Instead, a collective gasp echoed through the cavernous hall. Isolde's face was flawless, possessing a haunting, ethereal beauty that seemed to defy her harsh upbringing. But it wasn't her striking features that paralyzed the room. It was the mark. Starting from the elegant curve of her jawline and sweeping down the side of her pale neck was a sprawling, intricate, tattoo-like crest. It was the shape of a silver crescent moon interwoven with ancient luminescent lichen runes. In the dim light of the great hall, the mark actually seemed to emit a soft, pearlescent glow. It was the mark of the White Crescent, the undeniable biological brand of the ancient Lunar Queen lineage, a royal bloodline believed to have been entirely eradicated in the Great Purge a century ago. The bearer of that mark was not just a werewolf. She was the supreme mate destined to yield power, equal to, if not greater than, the Alpha King himself. But as the court stood frozen in shock, something even more profound was happening. The removal of the enchanted burlap veil broke the barrier that had masked Isolde's true nature. A sudden overwhelming scent flooded the great hall. It was a fragrance of crushed pine needles, dark vanilla, and the electric scent of petrichor, right before a violent thunderstorm. On the throne, King Alaric stopped breathing. The terrifying, bloodthirsty beast within him, the feral entity that had demanded slaughter and dominance for a decade, suddenly went entirely still. The crippling hollow ache in his chest, a pain he had carried since childhood, vanished in a single heartbeat. Alaric stood up. The movement was so abrupt, so laden with raw power, that several nobles instinctively took a step back, baring their necks in submission. His eyes were no longer amber. They had shifted into a blazing, molten gold. He stared at the bruised, terrified woman kneeling on the cold stone floor. "Mate." The word echoed in his mind, shattering every defense, every wall of cruelty he had built around his heart. He descended the stone steps slowly, his heavy boots echoing like thunderclaps in the deafening silence. Lord Harrington quickly backed away his face, pale with sudden, terrifying realization. Captain Henrik dropped to his knees, trembling violently. Alaric stopped right in front of Isolde. He towered over her, a mountain of scarred muscle and lethal intent. Isolde squeezed her eyes shut, waiting for the killing blow. She waited for the savage Alpha to tear out her throat to secure his unquestioned rule. Instead, she heard the loud clatter of armor hitting stone. Isolde tentatively opened her eyes. The entire court, including a horrified Lord Harrington and Lady Catherine, watched in absolute mind-shattering disbelief. King Alaric of House Valerius the Savage. Alpha, who bowed to no emperor, no god, and no man, had fallen to his knees. He reached out with a massive, trembling hand, his sharp claws meticulously retracted, so he wouldn't scratch her. Gently, with a reverence reserved for deities, he cupped Isolde's face. His thumb traced the glowing silver runes on her neck. "Mine." Alaric whispered, his voice cracking with an emotion so raw it sent shivers down the spines of everyone in the room. "You are finally here." The collective gasp that had filled the great hall seemed to freeze in the frigid air. King Alaric, the monster who had ripped the throats from rival alphas, was kneeling. The sight was so unnatural, so entirely contradictory to the brutal reality of Æthelgard, that for a long moment nobody dared to breathe. Mine! Alaric repeated the word, vibrating with a possessive ancient magic. He stood his massive frame, shielding Isolde from the piercing, judgmental stares of the aristocracy. Without a backward glance, he scooped her into his arms. Isolde gasped instinctively, wrapping her chained hands around his thick neck as he carried her toward the private royal wing. "Council is dismissed!" Alaric barked over his shoulder, the command echoing with the absolute finality of an executioner's axe. In the wake of their departure, the great hall erupted into a chaotic frenzy of hushed, panicked whispers. Lord Reginald Harrington stood trembling, not with fear, but with a sudden venomous rage. His daughter Lady Catherine gripped his arm, her manicured nails digging into his velvet doublet. "Father!" Catherine hissed, her eyes dark with humiliation. "That filthy peasant cannot be the queen. The mark of the White Crescent is a myth, a child's fable." "Keep your voice down, you fool," Harrington snapped, glancing around the room. He pulled her into the shadows behind a tapestry depicting the First Lycan War. "It is no myth. You saw the glow. You smelled the petrichor. The king's beast recognized her instantly. But Æthelgard cannot be ruled by a human-raised weakling. The alliances with the southern territories rely on strength." Harrington's mind raced, pulling on real-world political strategies. He thought of the Edict of St. Laurent, an ancient law drafted during the reign of King Richard of Lancaster, which stated that any royal mate whose lineage could not be traced through three generations of noble Lycan blood must endure the trial of supremacy before the coronation. It was a brutal test of survival, meant to weed out weak genetic lines. "We do not need to defy the king openly," Harrington whispered, a cruel smile forming on his lips. "We simply need to enforce the law. The Edict of Saint Laurent will be her undoing. She is a fragile human girl. The trial will kill her, and Alaric will be free of this cursed bond." Meanwhile, in the opulence of the king's private chambers, Isolde was gently set upon a massive four-poster bed draped in crimson silks. The warmth of the room, heated by a roaring hearth, was a stark contrast to the freezing cage wagon she had just survived. Alaric paced the floor like a caged panther, his golden eyes continually darting back to her, as if terrified she might vanish into thin air. He finally stopped, taking a silver key from his belt, and knelt beside her to unlock the heavy iron shackles binding her wrists. "Who did this to you?" Alaric asked, his voice a low, dangerous rumble. He traced the dark purple bruises blooming on her delicate skin where the iron had bitten into her. "Your men," Isolde replied. Her voice was steady despite the trembling of her hands. She met his golden gaze, refusing to cower. "Under your orders. They took a child, Alaric, a 10-year-old boy named Arthur, and they beat my father. Is this the strength of the savage alpha, tormenting, starving villagers?" Alaric flinched. The accusation struck him harder than a broadsword. For 10 years he had ruled through fear, because it was the only language the treacherous nobles of Æthelgard understood. But looking at the fierce, righteous anger in his mate's eyes, he felt a crushing wave of shame. "I didn't know," Alaric murmured, bowing his head. "You are the king. It is your duty to know," Isolde challenged, sitting up straighter. The ancient magic within her blood, awakened by the removal of the veil, was granting her an unprecedented courage. "If I am to be yours, if this bond is real, then things will change. You will order the release of Arthur and my father immediately. You will send grain to Oakhurst. I will not stand by a monster." Alaric looked at her, his beast purring in absolute adoration at her dominance. A lesser woman would be weeping for her life, but his mate was negotiating for her people. "It shall be done," Alaric vowed. He moved to the door, calling for his personal guard. Within moments, riders were dispatched back to Oakhurst with wagons of royal grain, and Arthur and William were brought to the safety of the castle's guest wing. For the next 3 weeks, a strange, tense peace settled over Ironhold. Isolde's presence acted as a soothing balm on the king's volatile temper. The court watched in stunned disbelief as the savage monarch began passing decrees that favored the lower classes, reducing taxes and establishing human protections. But in the dark corners of the castle, Lord Harrington was weaving his web. He had gathered support from conservative Lycan lords, stoking their fears that the king was going soft, corrupted by a weak, human-raised mate. They formally presented the Edict of Saint Laurent to the High Council, demanding that Isolde prove her worthiness before the upcoming winter solstice banquet. When Alaric was presented with the petition, his roar shook the very foundations of the castle. He nearly tore Lord Harrington's throat out on the council table, stopped only by Isolde's sudden appearance in the chamber. "I will take the trial," Isolde announced, her voice cutting through the king's roaring fury. "Isolde, no. It is a death sentence designed for Lycan warriors, not..." Alaric started, his eyes wide with panic. "If I do not take it, they will never accept me. They will always plot against us," she replied, stepping up to the council table and staring Lord Harrington down. "What must I do?" Harrington smirked, bowing mockingly. "It is simple, my lady. You must survive a night in the Whispering Woods, unarmed during a full moon. If the goddess deems you worthy, you will emerge at dawn." The Whispering Woods were notoriously infested with rogue feral wolves and dangerous predators. For a human, it was certain death. But Isolde, feeling the strange thrumming power of the silver mark on her neck, agreed. The night of the full moon arrived, bathing the stone spires of Ironhold in an eerie, pale silver glow. The wind howled down from the jagged peaks, carrying the bitter promise of ice and death. King Alaric stood at the precipice of the tree line, his massive chest heaving with restrained agony. Council laws strictly forbade him from interfering. Stepping one foot into the Whispering Woods would immediately forfeit his crown, and more importantly, Isolde's life. He watched, his heart fracturing, as his mate walked into the dark, foreboding forest, wearing nothing but a simple thin white linen dress. Isolde walked deep into the suffocating shadows, the temperature dropping drastically with every step. The woods were terrifyingly quiet, the usual nocturnal rustlings completely absent. For hours, she navigated the twisted, frost-covered roots and viciously thorny underbrush. Her bare feet bled, staining the pristine snow. As midnight approached, the oppressive silence was finally shattered. A low, guttural growl vibrated through the frozen earth. From the impenetrable darkness, three massive feral rogue wolves emerged. They were nightmares of matted fur and jutting bones, their eyes glowing a sickly, unnatural red with rabid hunger. They fanned out, circling her, snapping their foam-flecked jaws. Isolde backed up against the rough bark of a massive ancient oak tree. She had no weapon, no armor, and no hope of outrunning them. As the largest rogue, a heavily scarred brute, lunged for her exposed throat, a searing, blinding pain erupted from the mark on her neck. It wasn't the agonizing pain of a physical attack, but the explosive pressure of a centuries-old dam breaking within her very blood. The silver crescent moon tattoo flared with a blinding starlight luminescence burning through the fabric of her dress. The ancient primordial magic of the Lunar Queen kept dormant in her human lineage for 100 years to protect them from the Great Purge was violently and gloriously awakened by the mortal threat under the zenith of the full moon. Isolde didn't scream. Instead, a terrifying, beautiful, earth-shattering roar tore from her throat. Her human bones snapped and reshaped with lightning speed, guided by the ancestral magic pulsing in her veins. The charging feral wolves skidded to a chaotic halt, whining in sudden overwhelming terror as a blinding pillar of pure white light engulfed the clearing, melting the snow in a massive radius. When the brilliant light finally faded, Isolde was no longer a fragile human peasant. She stood as a colossal, breathtakingly beautiful white wolf. Her fur shimmered like freshly fallen snow infused with starlight, and she stood taller and broader than even the fiercest battle-hardened lycan warriors of Alaric's vanguard. Her eyes were deep pools of liquid glowing silver. She lifted her massive head and let out a howl that violently shook the trees, a sound of pure, undisputed godly dominance that immediately forced the feral rogues to press their bellies deep into the dirt, whimpering in total submission. Dawn eventually broke over Ironhold, casting a pale pink hue over the snow. The nobility had gathered at the edge of the woods. Lord Harrington stood at the front, already wearing a smug, practiced expression of mournful victory, rehearsing the speech that would declare the king mateless. Beside him, Alaric looked like a hollowed-out shell, his golden eyes deadened with a world-ending grief, ready to march into the woods to retrieve her bones. Then the frost-heavy branches rustled. Out of the dense morning mist stepped the magnificent white wolf. She walked with regal, undeniable grace, the three terrifying feral rogues trailing obediently behind her like tamed, docile hounds. The entire royal assembly froze in collective shock. Alaric's jaw dropped. The beast within him howled in euphoric, worshipful triumph. Without hesitation, the savage alpha fell to one knee in the snow, bowing his head not to a fragile human, but to the true, undisputed Lunar Queen of Ithilgard. One by one, the terrified, awe-struck nobles followed suit, collapsing to their knees, until only Lord Harrington and Lady Catherine remained standing, utterly paralyzed by the impossibility of the sight. Isolde gracefully shifted back to her human form, standing tall and unharmed. Alaric was there in a heartbeat, wrapping his heavy fur cloak securely around her shoulders, his hands shaking as he kissed her forehead. Her silver eyes then locked onto the treacherous lord. "I have passed your trial, Lord Harrington," Isolde declared, her voice echoing with the terrifying, overlapping dual tones of a human and an ancient wolf. Desperate, humiliated, and utterly ruined, Harrington lost the last remnants of his sanity. "Witchcraft," he shrieked, drawing a concealed poisoned silver dagger from his heavy velvet cloak. He lunged forward with surprising speed, aiming the blade straight for her heart. "I will never let a peasant rule my kind." He never made it halfway. Alaric moved faster than the human eye could track. With a savage, deafening snarl, he intercepted the traitor, his massive claws extended, batting the silver dagger away as if it were a toy. In one fluid, brutal motion, Alaric pinned Harrington to the frozen earth, his heavy boot crushing the lord's chest, while his razor-sharp claws rested heavily against Harrington's pulsing throat. "High treason," Alaric growled, his voice a dark promise of slow, agonizing death. "You dared to strike at the queen. You manipulated our sacred laws to mask your own pathetic cowardice." "Wait," Isolde commanded, softly stepping forward. Alaric froze instantly, his claws a mere millimeter from drawing fatal blood, and looked up at his mate with absolute obedience. Isolde looked down at the pathetic, trembling nobleman. Death is far too easy an escape for a man who has tormented the innocent for his own selfish gain. She decreed, her voice ringing out across the silent courtyard. "Lord Reginald Harrington, you and your daughter are hereby stripped of your noble titles, your expansive lands, and all your accumulated wealth. You are banished from Ithilgard forever. If you ever set foot across our borders again, the feral wolves you sent me to die among will be permitted to hunt you." The punishment was catastrophic, a fate worse than death for a proud, pampered aristocrat. Harrington sobbed uncontrollably as the royal guards dragged him and the hysterically screaming Lady Catherine away into the snow. That evening, the winter solstice banquet was transformed from a night of tense political maneuvering into a genuine, joyous celebration of a new era. The cavernous Great Hall was filled not just with lichen nobility, but with the humble village elders of Oakhurst. At the high table sat Isolde's adoptive father, William, grinning from ear to ear, and young Arthur, who happily devoured roasted pheasant with wide, disbelieving eyes. King Alaric sat closely beside his Lunar Queen, his massive hand securely resting over hers. The savage, bloodthirsty ruler was forever gone, replaced by a formidable but deeply just king, through the unimaginable courage of a veiled peasant girl and the spectacular awakening of a forgotten, legendary bloodline. The frozen kingdom of Æthelgard finally found its warmth. They ruled together for over 5 decades, their golden reign remembered in history, not for the brutal wars they fought, but for the unbreakable destined bond that finally brought wolves and men together under the radiant light of the White Crescent. Thank you so much for exploring this epic tale of betrayal, destiny, and the ultimate triumph of the Lunar Queen. If you were captivated by King Alaric and Queen Isolde's thrilling romance, please hit that like button and share this story with your fellow fantasy lovers. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel for more immersive, heart-pounding werewolf dramas and legendary myths brought to life. Your support helps us create more magical adventures